The title for today is to be encouraged. No matter what the situation you are in, here's the takeaway, be encouraged. And it is not by might, nor by power, but by the Lord's Spirit. And the passage is taken from Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 10. Read verse 6 and 7. Let us read this together. 1, 2, 3. And he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we need your grace and the mercies. Lord, help us, Lord. You know our situations. You know we need a word of encouragement. But Lord, help us to come with the posture, with the readiness to receive your words, with a humble heart to receive your words. Lord, help us, Lord, to know that we are just mist that appears a little while and then vanishes. We need you, Lord. Lord, we might have been living a life full of pride. We thought that we can settle everything on our own, so Lord. But Lord, your word says, who are we, O Lord, to say to ourselves that today and tomorrow we do so and so. Today and tomorrow we go to this place and that place. We are just like a mist that appears a little while and then vanishes. We need your words. We need to say that if it is your will, we shall do this and that. Lord, help us to know that we can never face the situations with our own strength. Even in Zechariah chapter 10, it says we need to ask rain in the seasons of rain, because it is you, O Lord, who give us sunshine and rain. Lord, help us that we will never take our time, that we will never take our life for granted. We will never take our family, our work for granted. But help us, Lord, to always ask from you, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to know what does it really mean, and help us to remember and to apply it in our daily life. Help me, O Lord, the broken vessel. Cleanse me, O Lord, as how you have cleansed Joshua, the high priest. Help me, O Lord, to come with a clean conscience before you. Not that I'm able, but I need your grace, O Lord. Help me, O Lord, to preach nothing but your words. Let you, O God, be increased, for you are the most high God. And let me, O Lord, be decreased, for I am your servant. Lord, prepare our hearts and let your words fall in the good soil of our hearts and to bear fruit in our life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, let me read for all of us here also from chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 10 to have a better context. And the angel who talked with me came again and woke me, Zechariah, like a man who is awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" I said, "I see, and behold, a lampstand all of gold with a bowl on the top of it, and with seven lamps on it, with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." And I said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angels who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it." Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of his house, and his hand shall also complete it. Then you know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice, and shall see the plumbed light in the hands of Zerubbabel. Brother and sister, today we come to Zechariah chapter 4. And this is the very passage, especially not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord, says the Lord of hosts. This verse is often quoted when we are weak, when we face many challenges, when works before us seem so great, and when our strength is not enough to do the work. This is indeed the word of encouragement from the Lord. But in order for us to understand what does the words really mean and how can it apply in our life, we have to read it in the original context. And the first point is words in context. The Lord never speaks plain words. The Lord never speaks empty words. The Lord speaks to you in your context and in the original context. Now, this happened and the words was spoken in the times of 520 BC, that's before Christ, in Jerusalem. And that comes a day when the people of Judah were before that casted into exile because of ongoing sinning against the Lord. The Lord cast them into exile, cast them to Babylon, and led them to be captive in Babylon, in a foreign land. And at first they thought that they're brought into captive. They thought that it's just temporarily. They thought that the people of God, we are the people of God, we are the chosen race of God. Why did God abandon us in this foreign land? They long to go back to the promised land. They long to go back to Jerusalem, to the land of Judah, to the land filled with honey, milk and honey. And because they have this longing to go back to their own land, they come the false prophets that proclaim false prophecy to these people. They say, peace, peace. These are false prophets. Jeremiah the prophet said to them, never think that you're going back to your land in a short period of time. You will be in this land, in the land of captives. Stay here, have children, have a family, work here. The days will be long. And after 70 years of captivity, under the sovereignty of God, and even before they brought back to Judah, God already granted them the promise. It is not the people who repented and God brought them back. It is not by the action of the people that found pleasing in the eyes of God. It is the Lord who remembered the covenant with the people. And even before the people repented before the Lord, it is the Lord who used his mighty hand to bring his people back from the land of captivity, from Babylon to Judah, to the land of Judah. After 70 years, God used a foreign Gentile person, the Emperor Cyrus, to conquer Babylon and to reverse the exile trajectory. Cyrus issued a decree permitting Jewish people to return to the homeland. The hearts of the foreign king is in the hands of the Lord. Today you may come from a country that does not have the freedom to share the gospel, like Malaysia. We can't share the gospel to the Muslim. Today you might come from the country where Christians are persecuted. But keep praying for your people. The hearts of the king is in the hands of the Lord. Babylonian king has been persecuting God's people. And even the power, the government in this world, in this earth, is in the hands of the Lord. The Lord can, on one day, overturn the government. The Lord can, on one day, overturn the government. Cyrus was used to let the people of the Lord set them free. And it is Cyrus who grant them the permission to build the temple of the Lord. Now, we need to bear in mind, the word says that not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. It doesn't mean that when a foreign governor, when the Gentiles grant you permission to worship the Lord at a certain place, you say, no, that's Gentiles. That Gentiles permission. It doesn't mean so. Because in the context where the Lord speaks to Prophet Zechariah, it is by His Spirit. It also means that God works in the hearts of the governor, change the hearts of the governor, and even change the power on earth to grant you the permissions to worship the Lord. All the authorities are under the very mighty hand of God. And they're brought back. They have a great expectation. Yes, we're going back to our own land, to the land filled with milk and honey, to the land of prosperity, to the land, to Jerusalem, the city of Salem. Jerusalem means the city of peace, Shalom, where the Lord dwells. But when they go back, they need to rebuke the family. They need to rebuke everything. They need to rebuke the city. And there are a few things that they need to face. First, we see poverty. In Zechariah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, there was no wage for man or any wage for beast. Neither there was there any safety from the foe for him who went out or came in. There was poverty. And not only that, because of poverty, there's also exploitation from the ruler, from the pastor of the church, from the shepherds. They said, slaughter these people. And they even after exploiting the people, they said, blessed be the Lord, I have become rich. This is a deliberate exploitation from the people by the religious leaders. Now, there's one church that I very admire. The leaders of the church during the COVID, he said to the congregations, I know you are in a very difficult situation. I have decided, I have told the elders, I have told the deacons, reduce my salary to the half. And he didn't force the other pastor, but he said to the other pastor, if you have this move in your heart, let us bear the burden with the people. The people are losing jobs. If you have this burden, if you have the touch from God, volunteer yourself to have your salary reduced. And the senior pastor set a very good example. He asked the elders to cut his salary to half. But that was the opposite during Zechariah's time. There was a huge exploitation amidst poverty. And here's there's opposition to the temple reconstructions. And the returning Jews themselves, because of the poverty, because of they have the fact that they have lost everything, they were discouraged to build the temple. And they said in the book of Haggai, chapter 1, it says, this is not the time for us to rebuild the temple. The time has not yet come for us to rebuild the temple. And not only that, they have opposition from the Gentiles, from the people of the land, that oppose the Jewish people to reconstruct the temple, that even wrote letters to the king of Artaxerxes and said that once they rebuild the temple, they're going to revolt the governor. They're going to rebel against the current governor. And as a result, the temple stopped. The rebuilding of the temple, the work stopped for a while. And this is the context where the Lord sent His messengers to speak to Zechariah. And through Zechariah to speak to the governor of Judah. There's no king at that time, no Jewish king. But Zerubbabel acted as if he was the king. he was given assignment to rebuild the temple. And that's the word given through Zechariah to Zerubbabel. And that's one thing that we need to learn. There's one very important thing. I'm not sure, as we look at the first slide, whether you're bearing a lot of debt, whether you're in economic turmoil, whether you're facing a lot of tensions in your family, at your workplace, in the university. But one thing that we need to bear in mind, when we look at the verse, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We need to remember one thing. When we read the verse, never come before the Lord and treat the Lord as the vending machine and said, yes, I'm facing challenges, I'm facing assignments, I'm facing many things. The word says, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. Oh Lord, help me to settle everything. Never treat your prayers as a coin that you put into vending machines and ask the Lord to be your mate and settle everything for you. Look at the context. When you face a problem, think back, reflect back in your life. Are you ready to receive the Word of God? Are you consistent in reading the Word of God? And what is in your heart, like what Brother Peters has mentioned in the prayers in prayer time? He mentions that seek first the kingdom of God. In a time of turmoil, in a time of difficulty, reflect back in your life. Lord, have I been honoring you all the days of my life? You know, in the midst of economic and social turmoil, what Zechariah did was not chasing after his own dream. What Prophet Zechariah did was not seeking financial freedom. What Zechariah did was not settling his own family. But what Zechariah did in the very first chapter, he received the very first missions from the Lord. And he has to call upon repentance of the people. He says, the Lord says to him, the Lord was very angry with your father. Therefore say to them, and thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me. Return to the Lord of hosts, says the Lord of hosts. And I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Zechariah received the very difficult mission. You know, it's very difficult for pastor to preach about repentance, especially in the times of difficulty and in times of extreme abundance prosperity. It's very difficult because in times of difficulties, in times of financial difficulties, when pastor preach about repentance, when pastor preached about you need to come to church every Sunday, when pastor preached about you need to come to prayer meeting and pray to the Lord, we have the tendency to question the pastor. Pastor, do you know my struggles? You just sit and come every Sunday to preach the Word of God, but we need to work every day. But trust me, I served in this world before. I worked in a corporate company before. And I served full-time in the church before. I can tell you from the deep of my, from the very depth of my heart, to serve full-time as a pastor is much more challenging than working in the corporate world. Even in the times of financial economic crisis, if the pastor is faithful to the Word of God, you know why? Because Zechariah, he was not the pastor that sit highly and said, you guys are sinners, I'm righteous. No, he was not like the Pharisees. Zechariah, he cares about social injustice. Zechariah cares about the widowed. Zechariah cares about the poor. And Zechariah has the courage to preach the message of repentance to the point of giving his life. Because we know in the book of Matthew, in the book of Luke, Jesus says, you have been murdering the prophets. From the blood of Abel or Havel to the blood of Zechariah. Zechariah died serving the Lord. He knew your struggle. And Zechariah, as a messenger of God, it points to the very fact that God is not sitting high, distant from the struggle. He knows your struggle. He knows your situation. The Lord, who are sitting high and throne, He came and visited the people to be with the people. He knows your struggle, and He knows that the very important things is the Word of God. Trust me. In times of difficulty, the very most important thing is not get these things done. No. The very first important thing is the very Word of God. And Zechariah has been listening to the Word of God. And this is indeed the fifth vision Zechariah received. And the angels, it means the angels, the very same angels came again. And the angels who talked with me came again and woke me. Like a man who's awakened out of his sleep. Now, it doesn't mean that I preached last month and I mentioned that Samuel most likely was sleeping literally when the angels woke him up. And he was very responsive. But here, Zechariah most likely is not sleeping, because here says that like a man who is awakened out of his sleep. It means that he's not sleeping. It means that he is like a man awakened. Now here there's a spiritual awakening. Zechariah wasn't necessarily physically sleeping. The phrase shows that he was roused again within the night vision, like a man awakened from sleep. Now, this is very important. It means that Zechariah was experiencing spiritual awakening. It doesn't mean that the previous visions, the first to the fourth visions, are not important. It doesn't mean that the Word of God only speaks to us when we experience something awaken us. No, the Word of God is still the Word of God. The visions that Zechariah received, the first to the fourth vision, is still the visions from the Lord. It is the Word of God. It is a very important message. That why Zechariah here was awakened, like a man awakened from his sleep. If you look here, there's a summary taken from the book RTB. It's a commentary. And here we see that the first to the eight visions, the first one is actually setting on the fact that Jerusalem was not at rest. And then from visions number two and number three, it is God returning to his people. And the Lord led the scattered people to return to their own land. And visions number 6 to 7 is about the Lord banishing out the sin and iniquity. It's about sin and iniquity going out from his people. So there's a coming in. The Lord came to his people. The people came back to the land. And vision 6 and 7 is about the sin and iniquity goes out from the land, from the people. And lead to the final point, after everything is done, Jerusalem is now again the peace of Shalom, the land of peace, the land where the Lord rests on it. And the turning point is the vision number 4 and number 5. Why? Because there, vision number 4 is the visions where the Lord cleansed the high priest Joshua. And then vision number 5 is where the Lord about to use the governor Zerubbabel to build his temple. Vision number 1 to number 3 is the Lord owns mighty hand. Number 6 to number 8 is the Lord owns mighty hand. Number 4 and number 5 is where the Lord is going to use his mighty hand to bring about the spiritual revival. Through Joshua, through Zerubbabel. Today the Lord awakes you. It's where the Lord wants to use you as his instrument to serve him, to build his church, to restore piety, community piety to the Lord. And remember, before you need to experience the spiritual awakening, be consistent to receive the Word of God. Be consistent to listen to the Word of God. And here we see, the angel said to him, "What do you see?" He said, "I see, behold, the lampstand of gold, with a bowl on top of it, with some lamp of it, and with some lips on each of the lamps that are on top of it. There are two olive trees by it, one on the right and one on the left." And what amazed me is that, you know, the lampstand is not uncommon in the Old Testament. Zechariah, as a prophet, he knew what the spiritual significance of the lampstand. It means God's presence. He knew what it means by the lamp, by the lit, by the wick in the lampstand. The lamp keeps on burning. It means that the Lord is present with His people. He knew the meaning. But there's a twist on it, because this lampstand has a bowl, and there are two olive trees by it. And Zechariah has the posture of humility. He came with a humble heart. He asked. He said to the angels to talk to me, "What are these, my Lord?" The angel says, "Do you not know what are these?" He said, "No, my Lord." Today when you come and read the Bible, if you come with a familiar passage, always ask in your heart, by faith, "Lord, what are these?" Even if you have know about it, ask the Lord, "What are these?" And this is very similar to what King David said in Psalm chapter 27, verse 4. He said, "One thing I ask of the Lord, that I'll seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." It means to ask questions, to inquire. Now, what does it mean? It means that to get to know the Lord, to get to know His Word, to get to know the Lord more and more and more and more. Ask the Lord, "What are these, your words?" Now, it just doesn't mean just cognitive knowledge. It means that to know it by heart. Now, for example, you know, as husband and wife, I remember before I got married, there's a brother shared with me one thing. He said when he woke up in the morning, he looked at his wife. He gazed at his wife, and he noticed something new about his wife. Perhaps there's that her face is smaller at one side, or some kind of that. And even his behavior, he noticed something new. He noticed that his wife has certain her certain habits. He noticed that his wife likes certain kind of food. You know, if you got married, there's something new that you notice about your wife, which you have not noticed before. And that kind of knowledge, if you put it as just merely cognitive knowledge, it's very weird in your husband and wife relationship. It's like very mechanic. For example, I give this illustration. When you are eating with a wife, and you notice that your wife ordered a dessert, a durian dessert, and you said, "Okay," in a very mechanical way, "Okay, my wife, you like durian? Okay, tomorrow I'll get you a durian. Here's the durian for you." It's like very mechanic. But if you really love your wife, and you notice something new about your wife, you say, "Oh dear, you love durian. Let me get you a durian. Though I do not like durian, but because of you, I get you a durian." That's love. It's not treating your wife mechanically. It's really loving your wife. And this kind of emotion has content in it, which is the fact that your wife loves durian. And you buy out of your heart that loves your wife. And this can be applied in our relationship with God. It's not like, "Okay, Lord, I know that I need to read your words. Okay, today I set the time apart. This is my to-do list. First is to read the word. Second is to take a bath. And then to take breakfast. And then to take a to go to the workplace. No. You do it with the heart for the Lord. It is to know the Lord more and more. And here's the words in context. The Lord speaks in our context. Even in dark situations, He still speaks. But He calls us to keep listening, to know Him with a humble heart. And here's, with a humble heart, we prepare to receive the words that encourage. He said to Zechariah, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit," said the Lord of hosts. You see, now the Israelite, the Jewish people, the people of Judah, in the situations where they are brought back by Gentiles, by King Cyrus, not their own king, not the Jewish king, but the foreign king, and now they are under the roofs of perhaps King Darius. And what I'm going to do, are they going to look at the King Darius and say, "Lord, this is a foreign king, and he might not give us the permissions to rebuild the temple"? Or, on the other hand, are they going to come to the Lord and say, "Lord, this king are too powerful. Let us go and have a good talk with the king"? No. Zechariah didn't do so. Zerubbabel didn't do so. But the Lord gave them a promise. Psalm chapter 120 says, "When I look up to the mountains, from where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." When you look up to the mountains, you need to look beyond the mountains. It is not the king, the Gentile king, that's going to threaten you. And you look up to the mountains, there are many false idols on the mountains. It is not these idols going to help you. But when you look up to the mountains, you need to see that there's something, the person beyond the mountain, the maker of heaven and earth, He is the one to whom you come, whom you, we need to come and seek after. Yes, there's King Darius, there's Gentile things, there are a lot of oppositions. But here one thing is very clear. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. And there are a few things that we need to pay attention. First, we need to see that in terms of difficulties, in terms of economic, social turmoil, the Lord is deeply concerned for His temple. Remember the word, "But by His Spirit, first deals with His temple, with the house of the Lord." And second, the Lord calls Zerubbabel to depend on His Spirit, not on human strength. By His Spirit, it means that to cling on the Spirit and to finish the work of God. It is not to lay down on the bed and say, "Lord, just work everything by yourself." No. The Lord says, "Not by might and power." It points to human strength, military power, political influence, and everything that we cling on to, depend on. In our services, in our things that we do for the Lord, it's also the same. We do not have our ultimate dependence on our experience, our expertise, our human relationship. No, it's on the Lord. The Lord can use your experience. The Lord can use your strength. The Lord can use your intelligence. If you look at the book of Joshua, Joshua used some tactics to win some war. The Lord can use all these things. But our ultimate dependence is on the Lord. And lastly, we see that the Lord, He Himself, ensure that the temple is completed through Zerubbabel. Verse 9, He says that the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house, and his hands shall also complete it. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation, and he will complete it. And the Lord says, then the people will know that it is the Lord. The question is that, how can the words of encouragement for Zerubbabel be our encouragement? It is about building the temple 2,500 years back. How can this word be our encouragement? We need to see The third point, the words fulfill. We see that the Lord speak in the context. We see that in dark situations, if you're ready to listen to the Word of God encourages us. And we see that it can be our encouragement because the Word has indeed been fulfilled. There are two layers of fulfillment. First, it's fulfilled during Zechariah's time. The hands of Zerubbabel laid the foundations. His hands shall also complete it. And the purpose is for us to know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, the angels to Zechariah. And here you see in Ezra chapter 6, here come the completions of the temple of the Lord. And the elders of the Jews built and prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. When the people built the temple of God, there's a consistent supply of the Word of God. If today you want to lead in worship, if today you want to share the gospel, if today you want to serve the Lord in your workplace, in your family, you need to have a constant, continuous supply of the Word of God. If today we want to have XICF, the Church of God, being built, we need to have a constant, continuous supply of the Word of God. The elders build and prosper through prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo. They finish the building by the decree of the Lord God of Israel and by the decrees of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, the king of Persia. The house was finished. Amen? Amen. On the third day, on the month of Adar, in the 6 years of the reign of Darius the king. Now, this is the first fulfillment. We see also, it's ultimately fulfilled in Christ. Why? Remember the key verse of the day. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. And he says, the mountain will be laid low or caused plain. Here we see two things, the Spirit of the Lord and the mountain. And here we see it points to Christ. Luke chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. He says, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. There's a very huge connection from the Old Testament, from Zechariah chapter 4 and Luke chapter 3. And if you look the whole Bible, and now we have the software, we can search all the mountains in the Bible, we see one thing. Whenever the Bible is mentioned, it means that the difficulties that the people find very difficult to overcome. And most likely, in fact, all of the time, this difficulty points to the oppositions against God's work. And the center of God's work is His temple and the Old Testament. The center of God's work is salvation. And here we see that when we look back, the word says, by the Spirit of the Lord, it means that the Lord will remove all the mountains for His works to be fulfilled. The work that ultimately points to the work of the cross. Zerubbabel faced a lot of hurdles, a lot of mountains in building the temple of God. The people oppose, the people write letters to the king and say that these people are going to rebel against the king. The own people were reluctant to build the temple of God. These are all the mountains. And today, I believe when Pastor Perry and the team went to the Philippines, they faced lots of mountains preaching the gospel. And the very huge mountains are these. First, when Jesus get up to the cross, Jesus, in the very beginning of His ministry, faced a huge mountain blocking Him to fulfilling His mission on the cross. Because the very temptation that Jesus received, that Jesus faced, is turning the stone into bread and to jump from the temple and to worship the Satan. It means that Satan talked to Jesus and said, if you worship me, all the glories of the kingdom, I shall give it to you. It's a huge temptation because what Satan means is that you don't need to go to the cross. Just worship me and I give you all things. These are the mountains. These are the mountains that Jesus needs to overcome over and over and over again. And the second mountain is our hardened heart. This is greatest miracle. You ask for the signs and wonders and miracles that are going to take place in the family. Remember, the greatest miracles that can ever take place is the removal of the heart of stone. Here it says that every mountain, John the Baptist is preparing the way of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is working in the heart of these people. The Holy Spirit is removing the heart of stone, granting them the heart of flesh. And all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. Not by might, but by the Spirit. Jesus is the very person, the Son of God, that came down from heaven, incarnated himself, bore the flesh of man in a very fragile posture, yet without sin. He is filled and born of the Spirit. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And look at here. He said, he has anointed me to proclaim good news, to proclaim liberties, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. There are two major ministries that the Lord do. First is the proclamations of the kingdom of God. And second is to set the people free. To proclaim the kingdom of God and to set the people free. And Jesus did all these things, clinging on the Spirit of God. This is indeed a very mystery for us. The Son of God, God Himself, clinging on the third person of God, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus was on earth. He was the one who cling on the Spirit. He was the perfect example that even the Son of God, depending not on might, not on power, but on the Spirit of the Lord. And how can the words of encouragement for Zerubbabel be our encouragement? Because when God used Zerubbabel to build his temple by his word, by his Spirit, today, as Christ has come, he built you and I. This is a great encouragement, because what God cares when you're facing difficulties, when you're facing family quarrel, when you're facing a lot of challenges in your workplace, what matters to God is not your problem, but you. The temple is not the building of God anymore. The temple is you and I. The temple is the church of God. God cares for you more than your problems that you face. And in terms of difficulties, as you look at all these things, the Lord is deeply concerned for us, His church, His people, for His glory. And remember, Zerubbabel has laid the foundation, and by his hand, he shall put the top stone on it. He shall complete it. If you look at the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says the very same thing. The Lord is laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone. And who is this cornerstone? Jesus Christ himself. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. And the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone or the top stone. There are different words used here. The first is cornerstone. The second, some translated as cornerstone, but the Greek himself said it's top stone. The foundation is laid. Jesus Christ is both the cornerstone, the foundation, and the finisher. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the foundation and the top of the head of the church. Nothing is built apart from Christ. He is our foundation. He is our head. Here it says also, we are no longer strangers and alien. We are no longer living in Babylon. We are now a fellow citizen brought back in this very promised land, the members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostle and the prophet Christ Jesus himself, being the cornerstone in whom the whole structure, all of us, are joined together, grows into the holy temple in the Lord. That's why in the Old Testament, in terms of social unrest, in terms of economical turmoil, it doesn't mean that God doesn't care for your house, for your financial situation. But the Lord wants to join you into the temple, into this church, into his body. So the words into this context, we look back, it's about the rebuilding of God's temple and about the restoration of sinners through Christ. And here, does it mean that when we face all these situations, we can never apply, if you look at the context, by his spirit, it means that to build the temple, to build the church. Now, when we face all kinds of situations, does it mean that we cannot apply the words by his spirit when we're facing such situations? No, we can. We can always come to the Lord. Lord, I'm overwhelmed with all these problems. Lord, help me remove all these problems. Just like what Paul said to the Lord. Lord, I have this thorn in my flesh. Remove it. Remove it. Remove it. We can come to the Lord, but never come treating God as a vending machine. For the Lord cares about your whole life, especially your spiritual condition. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. It means that as the Lord builds his church by the Spirit, it means that we need to live out the gospel by faith. It means that in terms of all these difficulties, we need to continue to walk as how the words instruct us. If you look in the New Testament, in the book of John and Acts, we see here, the words and the spirits often come together. 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 If we want to receive and be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need the Word of God and ask the Spirit to help us to understand the Word of God and to submit ourselves under the Word of God. It says that the words that are spoken to you are spirit and life. We need to receive the Word of God by faith. And here's the Spirit works in our life to yield to his words. And second, we need to proclaim the gospel by faith. Not by might, but by his spirit means that we need to build the church together by proclaiming the gospel, by living out the gospel, by encouraging brother and sister the word of God with the word of God. Here we see that the people proclaim the words boldly when they are being filled with the Holy Spirit. And third, we need to depend on the Lord in everything. John chapter 15 verse 5 says that apart from Christ, you can do nothing. He is the vine, we are the branches. It is the Holy Spirit that joined us to Christ, that joined us to be in Christ. So today, when we look back the words, not by might, nor by power, but by his spirit, the spirit of the Lord, it means that cling on to God, live out his words, keep proclaiming the gospel, and lastly, ask God for help. Depend on, Lord, I can't do this. Help me. In terms of difficulty, the Lord wants you to have a relationship with him. So the Lord speaks in context in the Old Testament, and be ready to receive the word. The Old Testament, some of us find it very dull, difficult to read, but keep reading. Keep reading. Keep reading. In due time, the Lord will use his words to encourage you. And how can I find our encouragement? How can you find our encouragement? Look at the promise fulfilled in the Word of God. And lastly, we see that we apply it in our today's context, yielding to the Spirit. Lord, help me. Fill me the Holy Spirit. No matter what your situation in, be encouraged. Let us read together, not by might, nor by power, but by the Lord's Spirit. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we need you. We need you desperately, O Lord. Forgive us, O Lord, if we are preoccupied with the busyness, with the tight schedule, with the information the world provide us. Lord, we need you. Lord, forgive us, Lord, if in our workplace, in our families, back in our home, we try to depend on own strength. And sometimes we treat you as our vending machines, Lord, to settle everything. Help us, Lord, to know that what matters most in the eyes of God is that we come to you. It's the temple of God that is built by the Spirit. Lord, in terms of difficulty, you care for us, O Lord. You care for your church. In terms of difficulty, you want to build all of us, O Lord. You want to fill us with the Holy Spirit. You want us to come to you in repentance. You want to restore our relationship with you, O Lord. Lord, forgive us, Lord. Help us, Lord, that in future when we claim these words, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Help us, Lord, to stay with a true conviction that by your Spirit, your church will be built. By your Spirit, your people will be drawn closer to you. By your Spirit, your glory will be manifested in times of difficulty, where we serve you in our family, in our workplace. Facing the problems, we cling on to you. We ask for your help, and in such a way, your name be glorified. Lord, we need you, God. Thank you, Lord. You are a firm foundation. You are everything. Thank you, Lord. And all creatures is holy, holy, holy. You revealed yourself to prophet Isaiah. And the multitude of angels says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The land is filled with your glory. Because you want to fill the land with your people clinging onto you. You want to fill the land with your people coming back to you. You want to fill the land with your people, your possession set apart for you. Yes, you yourself is a glorious God, is a holy God. But it's your deepest desire to fill the land with the holiness reflected through your people, Lord. That's why you say, let the land fill with your glory through your people, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We need you, God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.